prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Amen. The truth will set you free. This is Truth Revolution, where faith and reason meet. I'm Dave, and with me, as always, is Pastor Jeff.
Man, I love it. You said it, where faith and reason meet. Mm-hmm. This is about our brains and God and our ghosts real. That's not what the show's about every week, but this week, are ghosts real?
We're going to talk about that.
That's right.
And you're going to find out, are they really real? What does the Bible say about that?
Usually on our show, we do things like proving God's existence or showing that Jesus really did rise from the dead.
Right.
Or defeating arguments against Christianity or engaging in dialogue with people. We love to talk and ask questions from people. And we love challenges.
Got a Bible contradiction coming up later on in the show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Matthew got something wrong.
He got something wrong?
Yeah, Matthew got it wrong.
Oh, man, the Bible's wrong.
Yeah.
We're going to look at that. And we got some listener questions today, too. Yeah. See how many of you get those. Love your questions. Over at truthrevolution.tv, you can get on there and find truth shots and old shows, and you can send in your questions and your answers.
You can send in donations if you want to.
Yeah, you can do that. You can also send us hate mail. So,
hey, put down the pitchforks. It's okay. Calm down.
All right.
It's our live studio audience there.
Hey, so a while ago, years ago, my mother had her palm read. And this guy read her palm, and he said, "You are going to remarry before you have children."
Okay.
Now, she said to him, she goes, "No, I would never get a divorce." And the palm reader looked at her and said, "Your hand didn't say whether it was divorce or death."
Oh, no.
"But you're going to remarry before you have children."
Okay, let me ask this question real quick. Was this after you were born?
This is before. She didn't have any kids.
Okay. So this was... Were your parents married?
My parents were married.
Okay.
They had no kids.
So basically, this palm reader was saying, something's going to happen, and you guys are going to split one way or the other.
Death or divorce.
Before you have kids.
Right.
Okay.
And her marriage at that time was kind of shaky, and so she worried about that a lot.
Wow.
Like, what is going to happen here? She told a pastor at her church, and his name was Keith, their youth pastor, and he explained about a Ouija board that he had been involved with one time in college. Some students had said, "Hey, there's a Ouija board down the hall. Why don't you come look at this thing, man? It's cool. It's giving us answers. We're talking to it." And he went down there and everybody started saying, "Man, this thing stopped working. What's going on? Why didn't this work anymore?"
It was giving the pastor the silent treatment.
Well, and they said, "Why don't you work? Why can't you work now?" And it spelled out the word van, V-A-N.
Uh-huh.
And they thought, well, that's just stupid. And they put it away. But what nobody knew was that Keith was his middle name. His real first name was Van.
Oh, wow.
Now,
see, those things really work.
Well, here's the deal.
Right?
I am proof that the palm reading was not real. Because she had me and she had never remarried.
Right. Okay.
Okay, so I was proof that that palm reading
you,
was...
You didn't tell the rest of the story until just then.
Right. Right. But I am proof that the palm reading was not real. Mm-hmm. But what's up with this Ouija board thing?
Yeah, that makes it look like it's pretty legit, right?
I mean, what's going on here? Here's the deal. We always take scripture as our reference, because experiences are kind of crazy. You could have one experience that teaches you one thing. You have a different experience. It teaches you something else.
And not only that, two people can have... experience the same thing, totally experience two different things.
Right, so we want some sort of objective measurement here, and we've shown on the show that the scriptures are really from God. We try to show that on a regular basis. So we're going to look at what scripture says. And in 1 Samuel chapter 28, you get this story about the prophet Samuel. Prophet Samuel was dead.
Yeah, okay.
And King Saul had expelled all the mediums and spiritists from their land, except Saul, the king, got into some trouble. And so he went to a medium and said, "I want you to bring up..." He disguised himself and said, "I want you to bring up the ghost of Samuel."
Right. He disguised himself so the medium didn't know who he was.
Didn't know he was the king. Mm-hmm. And so the medium agreed to bring up the ghost of Samuel. And when the spirit came up, the ghost of Samuel came up, the medium flipped out.
Right.
And she says, "Why did you do this to me, Saul? I know now you're the king and you've tricked me. And what's going on here? Did she really conjure up a spirit?" So we're going to talk about that.
Uh-huh.
Here are some miscellaneous facts, though, that we got to get out of the way about ghosts, about spirits,
okay,
misconceptions. Number one, and you really, really got to get this. Dead humans are not ghosts.
Really?
They are not ghosts. If you look at 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 8, it says, "Therefore, we are always confident, and we know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and..." Haunting people? No. Away from the body and at home with the Lord.
Wait a minute. Haven't you seen the movie?
What movie?
Ghost. I mean, come on, man.
That's true. Oh, you just won the argument.
I did.
Because you made a pop culture reference. Right. And that's how you win arguments. Right. Wow. No, but yeah, we have movies about ghosts. But here you have the scripture. And what the Bible says is you are either in the body, your human body, or you are with the Lord. And we could go on to other scriptures to show that you are either in Sheol, the grave, or hell. Or,
okay, that's what I was going to answer my next question, because I was going to say, well, what about those who aren't Christians?
Right.
You know.
Yeah, can non-Christians haunt people?
Mm.
Right, and the answer is no. I mean, they go to the waiting place for hell. They're not allowed to haunt people either.
So that kind of puts a kibosh on the plans that I had when I die, because I want to be buried with chains so that I had them ready.
That is an awesome idea.
It is.
So like you could just get the chains and did you hear about the old lady who her husband died, and before he died he put a bag of money in the attic, so when he died he would rise up and he could grab the money on his way to heaven.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And after he died, a few days later, the widow went up there and looked in the attic, and she noticed the bag of money was still there.
Right.
And she just shook her head and she said to herself, "Man, I told that old fool to put the money in the basement."
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was going the other way.
Oh, geez. Anyway, so dead humans are not ghosts.
Right.
All right. Your old buddy is not a ghost who's haunting you. And here's the die. The deal. Once you die, only God can bring you back.
Right.
He's the only one that can do that. Luke 16:26, it says this.
It says, "Between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us."
A great chasm has been fixed. You cannot cross over from here to there.
Unless your name is John Edwards.
No, not even Jonathan Edwards.
The show says so. All right.
Stop it. We did a show about his show time. And it's
and he's going to do a show about our show, a show about his show.
Well, then we'll just do a show about his show that's on our show, about his show.
We just like rebuttaling here.
So, rebuttaling?
Rebutting, sorry.
And so, I like to rebuttal. Luke 16:26 basically says there's been a great chasm. People cannot go from heaven to hell, or from hell to heaven, or from heaven or hell back to earth.
Right.
They cannot do that. It is impossible to come back unless God himself does it. And it is impossible to contact the dead.
Well, let me ask you this question. And this is kind of off the cuff. I recently had a friend of mine whose mother passed away. Mm-hmm. Now, she was fairly old. She was in her 80s.
Yeah.
And at the very end, she was, you know, basically talking to her long since departed husband.
Okay.
And he'd been, you know, before she died, she was having conversations with him. So could that, I mean, what's up with that?
Like, how long are we talking before she died?
Like days.
Yeah. You know? There are some who would say that when you are dying and you are about to cross over to the next life, that God allows you to be greeted by relatives, and there's nothing explicitly anti or pro biblical about that. And so, you know, I wouldn't say one way or another, but I would say the typical biblical response is that you cannot contact the dead.
Right.
You know, if she was in a state of passing away and dying, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what God might allow in that particular instance. Mm-hmm. But what we don't want to do is take what she says, because she may very well have just, to be blunt, have been losing her mind as she died, and having these conversations with something that wasn't real. So, you know, we can't base truth on that.
Okay.
What we can say is that when someone's dying and they're about to be deadly dead,
right?
Reality dead, that we don't know that they aren't experiencing some sort of eternity there right before the moment that their spirit leaves their body.
Kind of a crossover.
Right. We don't know that. But we don't want to base any large dogmatic doctrines on that. Right. So I don't want to say, yes, she absolutely talked to her husband. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, that kind of gets on a slippery
slope. What I will say is that the Bible says you cannot contact the dead. And that's the general rule.
Right.
You can't unless God makes it happen.
Alrighty then.
And to be real honest, most often our real encounters with spirits are demonic in nature, and we should not be involved with them. So if you are contacting the dead, if you're involved with things like this, you are not really speaking to the person you think. You are probably speaking to a demon. Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 18 say this.
It says, "Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future."
Okay, so she's predicting the future. Mm-hmm. She's making incredible predictions,
right,
making a lot of money. This is something very spiritual here.
And it goes on to say, she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her.
First of all, this cracks me up every time. Like, they let her go on for a couple days, shouting this, walking around behind them. Uh-huh. And finally, he's like, "Enough!"
How would you call that?
Enough is enough!
What do you call that, free advertisement, though?
Free advertisement, yeah, really. I mean, she was fortune-telling. Everybody knew she knew, like, these secrets. And she's walking around yelling, "These men are telling you the way to God." And he's like, "Yeah, this is good. I'll let her do it because it's true. And okay, fine. Enough is enough." And he drives this demon out of her. What's weird is she was telling the truth. She was right. She was predicting the future, but it was done by a demon.
Right.
We know from the Bible, you cannot contact the dead. We also know demons can possess people. And we also know demons know lots of information.
Oh, yeah. Demons know the truth, you know, and they shudder at the name of Christ.
And I don't know about you, but I don't think contacting or playing with demons is a good idea.
No.
Not a good idea.
I wouldn't do it, personally.
We did a show about demons. You can go to truthrevolution.tv and check that out. So now the question is, well, what about Saul and Samuel and the medium? Did they really raise Samuel up from the dead?
Yeah, that's a very interesting situation.
We're going to hit that. But first, why don't we go ahead and do, Dave, a Bible contradiction.
Let's do it.
Bible contradiction.
All right, today we're going to find out what the heck is up with Matthew.
Matthew.
He's got his cross references wrong and stuff. Anyway, this Bible contradiction comes from infidels.org.
Yes.
And this is actually pretty, I don't know, it's a weird contradiction. Matthew 27:9 says, "Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price set on him by the people of Israel."
Okay.
There's no such passage in Jeremiah.
So Matthew misquoted?
Yeah, what's the deal there?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
My dental hygienist.
What?
Listened to our Bible contradiction one of the last times.
Okay.
She was talking to me about it this morning while I got my teeth worked on. And suddenly I feel the need to brush my teeth.
There you go.
Anyway, so aside from dental hygienists, who do a fantastic job, by the way.
Right.
Matthew 27, was he misquoting Jeremiah?
Sure seems like it.
He actually quotes almost a direct quote from Zechariah 11, which is why people think this is a misquote. Because they say there's no such passage in Jeremiah. Well, okay, I have three answers to this.
Okay.
First of all, and let's use the C in our cracked acronym. Okay?
Okay.
The C, the second C stands for credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, give the author a little credit, okay? Matthew, the author of this book, isn't so stupid as to not know the major prophets and the major messianic predictions, okay?
Okay.
I mean, this guy, he's writing a documented history book about the prophecies of Jesus, and he's not so dumb that he can't just, you know, figure this out. So, the point number one is, just because it's not written down in the book of Jeremiah doesn't mean that Jeremiah didn't say it.
Ah, I see what you're saying there.
Yeah, there were lots of oral traditions, especially in the Jewish culture.
Uh-huh.
I could say, as Ben Franklin said, and quote something that wasn't in his book. And it would still be true. Ben Franklin said it. So, it doesn't mean, he didn't say in Matthew what was spoken in the book of Jeremiah.
Right.
He said what was spoken by Jeremiah.
Right, okay.
So, it could be an oral tradition. We got two more answers for this. I'm going to jump on the other side of this break and answer these. Also, we're going to finish the question about ghosts.
Ah.
Was there really the spirit of Samuel raised from the dead?
Right.
Can you raise somebody from the dead? We'll get that on the other side of this break. TruthRevolution.tv. We're also going to answer somebody's question.
Mm-hmm.
And check you out. We're on the other side of this. Be right back.
You're invited to Revolution Church this Sunday.
don't wear a suit and tie. Nobody else does. Just come as you are. Revolution Church has a special kids program planned, rocking music, and teaching that actually matters for real life. 10:15 this Sunday morning, just music, teaching, and a program for the kids. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Check us out online, salinarevolution.com. www.salinarevolution.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
It's time to get a little scary.
Let's go ahead and talk about demons.
Is Satan or are demons the counterpoint to God? Is it a cosmic battle?
In Revelation 4, God created all things. That would include Satan and demons. Of course, when he created them, they were good.
But they turned away, so they are powerful, but they aren't a counterpoint to God at all.
Right, we're not talking about an even match between Jesus and Satan. These evil creatures are just creatures.
God made them. He can wipe them out with a word.
We see this with Jesus driving demons out. They had to obey him. They had no choice.
Then why doesn't God just command them to be good and obey?
Apparently God believes in a little thing known as free will, even for angelic and demonic beings.
There you have it, folks. Demons and Satan were created beings who posed no threat to God at all.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same. To be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
We're talking about ghosts today.
Truth Revolution. Oh, that was an awful ghost effect.
That was. That was kind of a...
I repent.
Okay, thank you.
That was awful. Okay, so the Bible contradiction that we've been in right now is Matthew 27, and he says that the prophet Jeremiah said that they took 30 pieces of silver, and he quoted this quote about messianic prophecy.
And it said that Matthew said that Jeremiah said that.
But Jeremiah didn't say it.
Jeremiah didn't say it. At least it wasn't documented.
Right. And point number one was, well, maybe the book of Jeremiah didn't say it, but it doesn't mean Jeremiah didn't say it. Okay, give the guy a little credit. Could have been an oral tradition. Jewish people had oral traditions. The second thing we want to say about this, and this is the funny thing, in Jeremiah's book, chapter 32, he buys a field with silver.
Aha.
Okay, Jewish teachers would often allude to one story while citing another.
Okay.
This was actually apparently a fairly common practice. So give him a little credit. He's not dumb. He's not going to miss this major messianic prophecy. He's probably relating some very interesting connection between Zechariah's well-known prophecy for 30 pieces of silver and the purchase of a field in Jeremiah for silver. There's something there he wants us to see and wants us to connect.
Right.
He's doing it on purpose. You got to remember, in the original text, in this Greek, they didn't have the same type of punctuation as we do. We say, then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. Colon, quotation mark.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have colon, quotation mark there. They just had, hey, and then what was spoken by Jeremiah was fulfilled. And you know, they took 30 pieces of silver and they put a price on them. And then he quotes something else. And then he says something else. And which of these is the real quote?
Right.
You know, we put these quotes in there and we're trying to make something that may not be there. And he may have been actually quoting Jeremiah or citing Jeremiah on purpose. So, and then the funny thing is, this is the third thing we want to make. is that there's this interesting historical connection. In the Talmudic references, which are some Jewish books, the prophetic scrolls could actually begin with the book of Jeremiah because it was the longest book by words.
Really?
Yeah. So Matthew here, he actually might be quoting in the Talmudic references by a section, not by a particular book.
So it was like a Jeremiah section, which included more than just Jeremiah.
Right. When you cite Jeremiah, you're citing, we would actually say nowadays, the major prophets. Mm-hmm. Like the major prophet says, da 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 da. And that could be anybody from Jeremiah to Zechariah to whatever.
Right, right.
And he was citing, or could have been citing, Jeremiah, which began their section of major prophets.
Oh, gotcha. So, that makes sense.
Yeah, they didn't call it the major prophets back then. They could have referred to it simply as Jeremiah. And everyone understood, we're talking about major messianic prophecies.
Gotcha.
So you have to understand where they're coming from in their culture. And those are three possible answers for this non-Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right. I'm going to get back to the story of Samuel.
Yeah. You know, the Bible contradiction thing, really, they need to work harder because there are so many possible explanations as to why he might have said Jeremiah
right.
instead of Zechariah. And it's not even if he was right, or even if he was wrong and he said Jeremiah instead of Zechariah, that's not a true contradiction. It's just a misquote.
Right.
It's not a true contradiction.
The entire function of the Bible
does not fall apart because he said Jeremiah instead of Zechariah. Yeah, now, still, I think it's important to show that he did mean what he said, but Jesus does not stop rising from the dead just because he accidentally said Jeremiah instead of Zechariah. Right. Anyway.
Makes sense.
Okay, so what about Saul, Samuel, and the medium, the woman?
I know, she was scared.
She was scared. She raised Samuel from the dead, and immediately she screamed in fear, is what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting about this is there's a lot of different ways to translate this, but really there's two thoughts here. Number one, she screamed, and then number two, she yelled, "Why did you lie? You aren't Saul, are you?" And the funny thing is, you realize, when she actually raised a real spirit from the dead,
she freaked out.
She was scared.
Right.
This was the medium. This was her job, was to raise spirits from the dead. And when she actually did it, she flipped out.
It's a good indication that she wasn't typically doing it.
Yeah, this is not normal, right? Oh my gosh, this scares the snot out of me. It's my job, but it scares me nonetheless. Like, no, she hadn't done this before. And she put it together. Saul, who was king, spoke with the prophets. And as soon as this prophet came back, she's like, "Oh snap! You really must be the king."
Right.
And so, you know, and the Hebrew word here translated "spirit" literally means multiple gods. That's literal meaning.
Okay.
And this is what the woman said: "I've raised this spirit, these multiple gods." The woman actually didn't understand what she was seeing.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay,
well, I mean, she wouldn't because she had never done it before.
Right, right. And so when she freaks out, she's like, "I see multiple gods," when she sees a real spirit. She obviously was a fraud and that this was unusual for her.
Right.
And the complaint is when Samuel speaks up and says, "You shouldn't have done this," he complains against Saul, not against the medium.
Right.
In other words, the medium really played very little role here. He's like, "Saul, you asked for me. Now you're going to get it."
Right.
"And you shouldn't have done that." And the medium's just like, "I want to die now."
Well, I mean,
I want out of here.
Because Samuel basically went to a place where, you know, he figured he could get to the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he probably could have just done
You mean Saul went to the place where he could get to the spirit.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, Samuel.
And so it was like, he could have just dropped whatever he was doing before he went to the medium and probably pulled the spirit up.
That's right. Now, here's the deal, people. Most psychics, honestly, are maybe they're dealing with demons, but most of them are just frauds and they're making false predictions. Mm-hmm. They do what's called fishing for information. I want you to listen to a clip from Sylvia Brown, one of our favorite non-psychics.
Please welcome Michael to the show. Michael. Michael and his wife, Kathy. You had a question for Sylvia about your daughter, Michelle?
Michelle was 17 years old. She'll be gone 5 years, the 21st of this year. Sylvia, I don't know how she died. Please, if you can, how did she die?
Okay, well now pause this for a second.
Okay, we're going to set it up here.
She wants to know, how did her daughter die?
She does.
And Sylvia knows, because she knows everything.
That's what she says anyways.
She was shot.
Okay, what did Sylvia say?
She was shot.
She was shot. Listen to how accurate she was.
Circumstances around her death?
She just collapsed in her room. I don't know, but something looks like it hit the chest.
Wait a minute. The parents say, well, she collapsed in her room. And then Sylvia Bounce says, well, no, I think something hit her in the chest. She went from she was shot to, no, I see something hit her in the chest. And it continues. Awkward silence.
Because
combustion.
They found nothing on the autopsy.
I don't care, but it looks like something hit her in the chest.
They did an autopsy. They did drug. You know, they do whatever
everything.
They do. It's just she was a healthy child, and
she was in her
just fell out in her
just
room.
Just went out
like a golf club's fall or whatever.
I know. Just went down.
Yeah.
I don't know, but there was something that hit her in the chest. I'm telling you.
She went from something very specific to backpedaling into something very broad.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of mediums do that.
Oh yeah. She was shot. I mean, something hit her in the chest.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm telling you, something, I see something with the chest.
Right.
And then she does this thing which she echoes. They say, well, they found nothing in the autopsy. And she'll say something like, right, they found nothing in the autopsy. And people are like, oh, yeah. I mean, and she's talking like she knows this stuff.
Right.
But she didn't. She's just echoing what they said. And then she's making other stuff up. It's just, seriously, how could anyone think this? Here are some of Sylvia Brown's predictions for 2004. 2004.
I love this.
Our American troops will be pulled out of Iraq by June or July. Wait a minute. It's 2013.
Well, maybe she's talking about in the new calendar when, I don't know.
June 2004 really means like December 2025.
Something like that.
She says Osama bin Laden will be dead as a doornail in 2004. No, not so much. She's my favorite. Martha Stewart will not go to jail.
Well, I bet you she got Martha Stewart's hopes up, though, didn't she?
Well, that was a good one. She said North Korea will launch nuclear weapons.
Now, that was for 2004, so if it happens after this, I mean, you know.
Sorry. She said Saddam Hussein will be assassinated in 2005.
Not.
No. She said a massive earthquake will occur in the Southwest U.S. in 2005.
Mm-mm.
She said the Giants would win the series against Cleveland in Game 7 in 2005. In reality, the White Sox beat the Astros in Game 4.
She didn't even have either of the right teams in there.
She had none of the right teams, not the right game. You know what, though? She did predict there was a World Series.
Right.
She got that one right.
You know what's great, though? I mean, she does have some value there. It is entertaining
now. Man. Oh, geez. Well, you know what's so funny is... she throws so many predictions out there that occasionally she gets a couple right, and her followers like, wow, how did she know?
Right, yeah. It's just like throwing spaghetti at a wall.
It's amazing!
Right.
I'm going to make 10 predictions right now, okay?
Oh, okay, here we go.
And if I get one of them right, we're going to like put it on our advertisements for the next 10 years.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that.
Thank you.
But I mean, psychics aren't accurate. They just aren't, and they make they themselves seem accurate. Okay, we don't have much time left. I want to get to a listener question, so let's do this before we run out of time today.
I got a question.
All right, listener question today is from Kenny. He asked, there are some churches that believe once you get saved, you are saved forever, no matter what you do, while other churches believe if you commit a sin, you're no longer saved and have to get re-saved and keep doing so every time you sin, which is true. Help me out.
Okay. We're going to answer this question really quickly, and then we're going to spend some more time off on online only.
Okay.
The real quick question is, there's three views. You can't lose your salvation, you can lose it, and you lose it every single time you sin.
Oh, no.
It's totally totally unbiblical to say you lose it every time you sin.
Okay.
The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus. All right, he gives you the gift, not gifts, like multiple gifts.
Right.
All right. We're going to talk about the other two views. These are legitimate debates within Christianity.
Mm-hmm,
we're going to talk about those online. If you want to know the answer to this question, go to truthrevolution.tv, and we're going to answer it for you. But the real quick answer is, this is a legitimate debate within Christianity, but there's far more that churches agree on than disagree.
Right.
They agree you have to be saved. They agree you need Jesus. They agree there's things that we do wrong. They agree God's not pleased when we do evil. There's just a question of, can you lose the salvation or not?
All right, so come on out to
truthrevolution.tv. And we'll see you next week on Truth Revolution. Thanks for listening, and truthrevolution.tv for the answer to this question.
Truth Revolution.
We are online.
Yes, and normally we say, now get over to truthrevolution.tv, but apparently you're already here.
Welcome.
So congratulations, you made it.
If we knew you were coming, we would have baked a cake.
Wait, if they might be getting this on iTunes. They might be getting a podcast.
Okay.
In that case, shame on you for not going to our website.
Go there now so you can get rid of your shame.
Is it bad to criticize your listeners?
I don't know.
Some of you listeners need to come here and slap us around a little bit.
Well, you slap Jeff around. This is mostly his show.
Dave slaps me around all the time.
Whatever.
This is a cry for help. All right. So, Kenny, call right now. No, don't call the police. Seriously, don't. Do it. No. So Kenny asks, can you be, like, once you get saved, are you saved forever or not?
Yeah, you know, basically it's called once saved, always saved.
Yeah, that's one of the phrases.
One of the viewpoints.
That I hate.
Yeah. And then the other one is basically, you know, you can lose your salvation. And, you know, maybe, I'll just let you take over because I have a bad habit of jumping on the train and getting ahead on the tracks.
And answering our questions.
Answering questions. So
in like 2 seconds when I want it to last 5 minutes.
There you go. So I'm just going to let you do it.
Well, first of all, every church agrees and on a lot of issues. And this is the biggest point we have to make. So many people get divisive over these little things.
Oh, yeah.
Or even some critics will say, look, you Christians can't even agree. Are you saved or not?
Christians will go to fisticuffs over stuff like this, and that's just wrong.
But you have to point out, look, we all agree. Everyone agrees you got to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
You need saving from our sins. And we all agree
Amen.
You have to have Jesus to do that. And we all agree that there's things that we do that are wrong. And we all agree that God isn't pleased when we do evil.
Right.
Like, we agree on all these issues. There's just, and there's more. But then there's just this one little piece. Well, when you do wrong, after you've been saved by Jesus, can you lose your salvation?
Right.
It is a debate. Christians disagree about this. And so I'm not going to say that either side's heretical. I'm going to give you my viewpoint. But there are three views. View A, you cannot lose your salvation, period. View B, you can't lose it, but you can give it up after mm-hmm. purposeful rejection or a long purposeful walking away. And view C is you lose it every time you sin. Now, I think A and B are genuine discussions and debate within Orthodox right. Christianity. I don't think C is. You lose your salvation every time you sin. Let's just think about the nature of God as loving and kind and generous and merciful.
Right.
And then put this into a real life scenario and see how ridiculous it is.
Well, you know, not only that, but think about that. I mean, how many times do I sin a day? You know,
Well, let's just put it into a real life scenario, okay? Let's say Mother Teresa
mm-hmm.
is in a car. And she's being driven somewhere. And this saintly woman who's done so much for orphans, she's dedicated her whole life to God. She knows she's a sinner. She needs forgiveness. And she's done so much good. She's, you know, a saint. And she's being driven in this car. And it comes over a hill. And then there's another car. They're going to hit head on. And in that tenth of a second before they smash and she dies, she says, oh, beep. And says something Mother Teresa shouldn't say.
Right.
Does she go to hell now because of that?
I would hope not.
Give me a break.
Right.
You can't tell me that it's in the nature of God to take someone who relies on him their entire life mm-hmm. and says, I want Jesus. I love Jesus. I follow Jesus. Jesus, forgive me for doing wrong. And then makes one mistake just right before they die. And then they go to hell because of that.
Right.
No, that's not within the nature of God. So I think C is just a ridiculous scenario. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Wages
right.
of sin is death. You get many wages from sin because you have many sins. It says, but the gift of God, one gift,
I see.
The gift of right. God is eternal life mm-hmm. in Jesus Christ. So you get one gift. You don't get it and then lose it. And then you get another gift and then you lose it. And then you get it again and then you lose it. It's one right. gift. John 10, Jesus says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. He gives us eternal life. We don't grab hold of it ourselves. Right. He gives it and no one can take that away. It cannot be so at the very least we have to say this cannot be an accidental thing. Losing your salvation is not an accident.
Right. It's got to be a purposeful thing. Just like
if you can.
Yeah. Just like getting your salvation.
I mean, that's a
yeah, you don't get your salvation on accident.
Right. It's a very purposeful thing.
The other day, I was walking to the bar, and I had my head down, and I ran into a church on accident.
Yeah.
And then, like, the Holy Spirit came upon me because I ran into the church. Total accident, but, like, now I do, like, prophesy and stuff.
Well, quick question, man. I mean, don't you think that maybe if someone were to lose their salvation, maybe they really didn't have it to begin with?
Well, you know, we're going to talk about that, okay? Because we have to be really careful here. I want to read to you the scariest verse in the Bible.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This is the scariest verse in the Bible, and it's not like God is angry. It's not any of that. It's Matthew 7:20. Do you like the dark gritty music?
Yeah.
You should be scared already because
I am. It's foreboding.
Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven.
See, that has scared me for years. I mean, not in recent years, but for a lot of years, that verse scared me.
Just because you claim to be a Christian, just because you call Jesus Lord, doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you look saved, doesn't mean you are saved. So here's the deal. I think asking the question, can you lose your salvation, is somewhat misleading. Perhaps a better way to ask this would be to inquire, could someone who doesn't enter heaven be called a Christian? Now, answer that question. Looking at the obvious answer would be no. Someone who does not enter heaven is obviously not a Christian, right? And herein lies the complication and the misunderstanding. Who among us knows who really has faith in Christ and who's really a pretender?
Only us.
No, we don't. You know, only God knows.
But you don't think that I know about my faith? You know?
I think you think you know. I feel a generic idea.
Yeah.
It says,
I feel very assured about my faith.
Psalm 44 says, the Lord knows the secrets of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord. It doesn't even say you and the Lord know the secrets of your heart. Okay. It says the Lord knows the secrets of the heart, right? I think people lie to themselves every day.
I do. I think people do lie to themselves, but I think deep down inside they know the truth. I lied to myself for many, many years.
Maybe.
You know, so.
But we're debating upon a debatable point upon our debate. Yeah. But the example of Judas clearly shows that Jesus has followers who can be mistaken for the real deal.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean, this is a problem. Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now listen, he says, many will say to me on that day, the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Note that these people claim to have done miracles in Jesus' name. Like, that would be a pretty good indicator that someone's a Christian, right? If they can do miracles in Jesus' name. But even though these people would clearly be considered Christians, Jesus says, sorry, I never knew you. And Jesus says, not, hey, I knew you for a while, but then I didn't know you. He says, I never knew you. Never. And so here we can see why it's more important to ask, can someone who does not enter heaven be called a Christian rather than can a Christian lose their salvation? Because these people who do not enter heaven, Jesus says he never knew them. It's not a matter of gains and losses. Like, well, one time they were in heaven and then they were out of heaven.
Right. There's no eraser for the book of life.
Right. This is truly the only question that matters. Does someone have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ? Right.
Amen.
You know, similar to the earlier question, we shouldn't ask, can someone who followed Christ stop following Christ? We shouldn't ask that. Instead, we should say, could someone who does not follow Christ really be considered a true follower of Christ?
No.
So instead of just saying, well, that dude followed Jesus and then he fell away, we maybe should be saying, he's not following Jesus. I don't think he's a true follower.
Right.
You know, the book of James obviously says that. He says, what good is it if man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? The answer is no.
Right. And that also veers us into a deeds versus, faith thing. We've touched on that before. So you're already here at Truth Revolution, unless you're, of course, on the podcast. If you are on the podcast, go to truthrevolution.tv. And, check out the past shows there. Yeah, so that's a very deep and meaningful conversation to have because, I mean, you know, if it's obviously we want to continue to go deeper with our faith.
We do.
Regardless. We don't want to be moving away.
At another time, we're also going to look at like Ephesians 1. This is having believed, you are marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say, The Holy Spirit is a seal who guarantees your inheritance unless you're really naughty.
Right.
And then you lose your inheritance. No, it says your inheritance is guaranteed as a true follower of Christ. So the question isn't, can you lose your salvation? The question is, are you really, does God know you're going to be in heaven? If you're going to be in heaven, then you're a Christian. If you're not going to be in heaven, then you're not.
Right.
That's the real deal. So, hey, thanks for listening to Truth Revolution. Check us out, obviously, online. You're probably here, truthrevolution.tv. Check out some of the truth shots. These things are 60 seconds.
60 seconds of truth, man.
And we do 3 a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You can send them to your friends, post them on Facebook, make little Photoshops out of them.
There you go.
Make cartoons, send them to us. We'll post them or not. Truthrevolution.tv.